You are listening to Tech Tips with Tech Squad. This is the Covina High School podcast designed by Gen Yes students.
This podcast is reserved for educational purposes by giving tips for technology and suggestions for a higher efficiency technique. Hey, what's up, you guys? Welcome to the 2018-2019 school year. How are you doing, Gabriel?
I'm doing great. How are you, Kayla?
I'm good, too. This marks the first episode of this new season for Tech Tips with Tech Squad. We will be introducing ourselves as the new host and getting to know us and what type of experiences we have had with technology.
We will also be reviewing a new topic of new beginnings. It will be about how we know if technology is the solution or the problem. Stay tuned to hear more.
Hey, everybody. This is Mr. Platt. Wanting to introduce the students here for Tech Tips with Tech Squad. We have Gabriel and Kayla, and I'm going to... Hey, you guys. How you doing? All right. I'm going to let you guys go and start... You can start introducing yourself so everybody knows who you are and what you're all about.
Ladies first.
All right. Thank you. Well, I'm currently a senior. I'm going to graduate soon. This is my first year doing a podcast.
You guys getting involved?
Yeah.
Well, maybe you can continue this eventually.
Like, there's people that still do this. Like, even like people like Platt just doing this. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't have to stop just because.
Yeah, that's a very good life advice. Yeah. What about you?
Well, I am Gabe, and I'm currently a junior here at Covina High School.
I'm in band. I've been in band all four of my years, and I kind of started in junior high, but then I transitioned over to a newer school, which is this beloved, beautiful place we call Covina. I'm involved with band, and I do a lot of percussion stuff, including choir. I do drum kit for choir, along with Graham that does piano. Abe last year, which is another one of our friends, did bass drum, or not bass drum, bomb, bass guitar. I can't talk.
You're basically musically talented then.
Basically musically talented.
Yeah. I guess you could say that.
I've been involved with Gen Yes ever since a little bit later through freshman year, actually, because of, like I said, I transferred over from a different school. But ever since I started Gen Yes, I pretty much fell in love with it and I knew I wanted technology to be in my life. When I grew up, I wanted to be in the technology field. This year, I'm actually doing IT Essentials, hopefully pass those CompTIA exams.
Yeah, same here. Like, yeah. We actually are in the same IT Essentials class, and I just so happened to be sitting next to him.
We didn't even know each other. We're like,
I know.
I was like, oh, I'm in Platt. I'm doing podcasting. She's like, wait, me too. I'm like, wait, you're Kayla.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. So yeah, I'm gonna be a computer hardware engineer. Well, that's what I plan to be. Computer hardware engineer when I grow up. I like more of the physical aspect, you know, plugging in and taking out components. Obviously, there's gonna be some software involved, but I'm not a big fan of all that coding and stuff. I can't just sit there for like a couple hours just typing script. And it's kind of just like repetitive to me and kind of confusing at times. It gets frustrating at times too when you're doing JavaScript and you run the code and it doesn't work and you're just like, what did I do wrong?
Mm-hmm.
So how are you getting involved with technology here?
I have been involved in other activities at school. Like, for example, I do swim. It's been an amazing experience. Mr. Platt is actually one of the coaches there too.
Oh, would you look at that?
Also, I'm part of Colink, which is a program that we help the freshmen transition academically and socially into high school. And it's actually my second year doing that, and I really enjoy it.
Hopefully, just like Colink, we could engage students in our show too.
Maybe definitely
get their opinions on technology, how they use it, their everyday life, you know, what they have to say about it, just the general opinions.
Definitely. And as for technology, I actually have always liked technology. I'm more like, what I aspire to be is like an IT specialist. So like computer technician, like repairing computers or networking and all of that. That's something that I enjoy doing. Similar to you, like, I'm not really into coding either.
It's more the hardware field. Yeah.
Okay.
Something that we will be discussing in this episode is what experiences we have had with technology. So, Gabe, what are a couple of things that you've learned from helping people with technology?
Helping people with technology definitely helps develop my socializing skills because it helps me work with a different variety of people and try to understand and diagnose problems that they're having, whether it be like the same teacher with two different problems or two different teachers with the same problem. It's always going to be different in a way because some teachers may know a lot about technology and some teachers might know very little, and helping them is always going to be definitely a task because you're never really going to get the same type of problem.
That's very true. Yes, like one experience I had like about a couple weeks ago is that I helped a teacher with a printer, and when I first got there
same
when I first got there she didn't really believe in me.
Okay.
Like, to believe that me, like, I guess a teenager was going to help her with technology. But when I was able to help her and fix the issue, then she was able to understand, oh, yes, there's a reason why Gen Yes is here, mm-hmm. and it's to help them.
That could also come from the standing point of maybe some teachers are kind of a little embarrassed to admit that their lack of knowledge on technology and what they have in their classroom, maybe some of them don't know too much mm-hmm. about it. And they kind of see us as like a, oh, wow, like, how come this little teenager knows more about technology than me? Like, this isn't okay. So
yeah. And something for teachers out there who are listening, it's okay to be embarrassed if you don't know something.
Not be embarrassed. Or, it's okay to not know about
something. Yeah, definitely.
Just let the students help you out. We're here to help. We're not here to make you feel bad about yourself.
Yeah, and that's actually one of the future plans for this podcast, is that we will be learning about new technology that can be useful in the classroom. And we will also be interviewing people, and you can learn from their experience.
So not only are the teachers learning from us, but we're learning from the teachers.
Mm-hmm.
So for this entire school year, I'm really just trying to be able to, I mean, aside from the technology part, I'm just trying to balance all my stuff going on, because I do have a lot of food on my plate, but I do have time for podcasting. And I'm definitely going to engage myself with podcasting. I just hope to be successful this year, maintain those grades, right? I don't want to just like slack off and then at the end of the school year just be like, oh yeah, I forgot about my grades. Let's just get those up right here in 2 days. I just want to maintain that steady balance. And
same here, especially since I'm a senior. I'm going to have a lot of pressures from colleges and applications, but I'm also going to maintain a balance on my schedule so that I can dedicate time to this podcast.
Something I must mention is Google Classroom really kicked up their game this year. Their new classwork edition that they added.
Oh, yes. That's right.
Very helpful. It helps us see what we've done and what we didn't do in a little nice, orderly fashion. It's definitely helping me, and it makes me feel successful, though, because I don't know if you noticed, but if you have an assignment that you haven't done, it's purple. But then once you do it or turn it in, then it turns gray.
Yeah,
I just
that's
love
true.
Seeing that long list of gray assignments yeah. because it knows I did that.
Yeah, you feel accomplished.
Yeah, you definitely feel accomplished. Proud of that. I want to see what else Google Classroom can do. I want to see the new features in the future.
So today we have some special guests with us. Can you please introduce yourselves?
My name is Tom Covington. I am a technology integration specialist for the Bassett Unified School District, and I am one half of the podcast TOSA's Talking Tech.
And I'm Michael Jeffcott, the other half of TOSA's Talking Tech, and I am also a technology integration specialist.
So how does technology like just play a role in your guys' job or life?
Technology is what we do. Are tasked with making sure that teachers know how to leverage the technology that's in the room and use the tools that are provided. So there's a lot of PD training that we do.
We also work with students throughout the district from kindergarten all the way to 12th grade, showing them new technology, getting their teachers comfortable with that technology.
Are there any differences that you have noticed when helping different students at different grade levels?
Oh, yeah. Definitely have to take a different approach. I mean, even with adults, we all learn differently, even with technology, so different type of learners, different had to alter.
I totally get what you're saying with working with adults on my behalf. Just working with some of the teachers here, some of the staff, it definitely take a different approach rather than like working with like a student that broke their Chromebook, because some adults may be too like afraid to like admit their lack of knowledge with technology. Mm-hmm.
That was something that we actually talked about earlier in the podcast. That.
Yeah, definitely a different approach to different learners, for sure. You have to, just like in the classroom with different types of students.
So how would you go about like a problem that an older, like an adult would have?
Adult learners, you have to be careful with making sure they have the background knowledge that they need. A lot of them are coming from a place where, especially with technology, they've been doing some things in their classroom a certain way for a certain number of years. They want to see what's out there that's really good, but they're also afraid of leaving that comfort zone. So mm-hmm. it's more of a gradual approach with them, where when we're doing it with students and when we're really training with students, they're more eager to jump in to whatever we're doing, because there's no like routine that they've established. It's just, mm-hmm. hey, this is something new and fun. Let's try it.
Yeah, technology is just really developing. Like, and I don't think it's ever going to stop developing. Teachers, like, you know, they were introduced to it, and then that's all they knew, and then they stopped being introduced to newer technology. So I get what you're saying with the whole comfort aspect.
Yeah. What we found also is students are not really afraid to fail. They'll try it. Oh, yeah. Brand new with no training whatsoever with new tech. Teachers would prefer, many of our teachers prefer a one-to-one or a hands-on and get them time to try things out first before they try that technology.
Yeah, and that's understandable too.
And another question, what specific technology has served an immense purpose in your teaching or life in general?
Some tools that you guys might have used.
The one in my hand right now, my iOS.
Yeah. Mobile phone.
Probably the phone. I mean, I can almost do everything I can on a computer on this.
Yeah, I think that the phone, it's going to be probably even more revolutionary. As soon as you are able to have the same tools on your phone as you do on, say, a laptop or a desktop device, processor power is almost equal right now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the only really thing that you need a desktop for is power computing skills like video editing. But other than that, all right, and gaming, of course.
Yeah, definitely.
But the gaming is getting a lot better on mobile devices, too, because they're keeping that in mind. So, yeah, definitely phones. Versatile.
Yeah, you were talking about processing the new A12 coming out mm-hmm. for iOS. That sounds really impressive. I hope to be getting the new iPhone,
nice.
The XS Max. I don't know why there's so many words involved with just a phone name.
All these acronyms.
And then a final question is, what advice do you give to other people about taking technology to the max?
You know, just playtime. Mm-hmm. A lot of people don't give themselves that time to just play with the tech, not stress about trying to get it right the first time, but just try it. We have people that just get new devices, they don't touch it until they're instructed. And we say, no, try it out, open it, try mm-hmm. on your own, see what you can learn. If you fail, that's okay. Try it again or bring it to us. We'll help you to the next step. But yeah, just try it out yourself first.
Yeah, mm-hmm. try, play, learn. If there's something that you want to know how to do, use Google, look it up. There's probably a YouTube video out there on it. I've learned more from YouTube or things that I'm interested in than probably any other place.
I think I just mentioned that to my friend earlier in school. I was telling him how ridiculous it was that YouTube has played such a big role in my education. And I don't want to like stress this too much, but I think it's a bit more effective than some of the education that we get here at school.
Well, think about it. It's on demand. You looked for it yourself, too. You're not sitting in some class somebody told you to.
Mm-hmm.
And I can stop and rewind and go back if I didn't get something.
Definitely.
Or I can go look at another video from somebody else because I have that option. So if the first video didn't explain it in a way I got it, I can go to another video. And there's such a diversity of videos out there and more things being put up there all the time that, yeah, that's going to be the number one way. On-demand, personalized learning.
Yeah, and get different points of view also, not just one. And like Tom said, with a lecture, it's hard to go back.
Mm-hmm.
So you get it one time and that's it. You got to take it in once. YouTube, you can go different directions, review it, try different things out, and go on from there and go further in that lecture that you would in a classroom.
I think there's kind of two sides to this whole YouTube thing. There's those teachers like that kind of just want to do it all themselves. But then you're starting to see these newer teachers that are actually getting engaged with the technology and using YouTube in the classroom.
But that's a form of what we were talking about earlier, too, about when you're teaching an older teacher something, they used to be the authority in the classroom for the subject area. And now I can learn more on YouTube than somebody can teach me, or not even YouTube, on the internet itself.
Mm-hmm.
The knowledge and information at the tips of all of our fingers is so much more than it was when our teachers were going through school. So they've been used to being seen as the authority, and they saw their teachers that way. So for a lot of teachers, it's hard to kind of let that go. And now I'm teaching you how to curate content, and I'm teaching you how to set up an argument and really look at the information and decide whether or not it's factual or if it's something I need to throw away. So okay. That it's different skill set. So
yeah, definitely us as teenagers, we've gone through those changes throughout our school life. I remember that everything will always be done on paper. Everything was just manual, hard copy. But now we've seen the gradual change going on to using Google Classroom.
Yeah, to add to that, like my dad's like, hey, do you have homework? Yeah, let me check. Hey, Siri, do I have homework? And she'll just tell me. Like,
yeah.
It's that simple. And kind of like with the whole comfort aspect, what you were saying, you were mentioning how teachers are kind of like not really refusing, but kind of don't want to admit to the fact that technology can help you a lot because they're stuck with what they already know and they don't really want to face those errors or those fails that they might encounter. They're afraid to, so they might come up with excuses like, oh, technology is actually a problem. Like, it's distracting the class environment. So they might use that as kind of a way, as an excuse to say technology is bad for the class.
Yeah, and it's teacher by teacher too. It's on a teacher by teacher basis. this, and you know, you just got to have that growth mindset, and that'll help change things.
Many of them have spent years perfecting their craft and how they teach, mm-hmm. so they have routines in place that have worked for them and they've seen success. So in that mindset, why would you change? What we're trying to deliver is, let's try and make that craft that you have even easier. Let's put some tech in there to make your life and your job easier for you, so you can be at home, instantly check all your students and what their grades are and what they're working on. Just an easier step within their process.
Specifically, I actually just recently read an article that was asking the question, how do we know if technology is the solution or the problem? I would like to know your guys' thoughts on that.
It depends on how it's used. It's all about use, you know, how it's being used in the classroom, depending on whether it's a solution or problem. So if I'm telling you, if we're using our devices in the classroom to create and experiment and research, then yeah, that I think it's part of a solution. If we're using it to type and that's it, then no, it's going to be a problem, because it can do so much more than that. And our students know it can do so much more than that, that they're going to be doing more than just typing on it. So the engagement piece has to be with the technology as well as engaging with the subject matter. So I think solution, depending on how you look at it.
I think it definitely has to do with the perspective of how you see it too, not just with how you're using it. Educators mm-hmm. might see mobile phones as, or just computers or laptops, and now we got the new Chromebooks, right? As a distraction. I kind of get that. From a teacher's perspective, they can see that as kind of a drift away of attention and more of a burden, kind of, and it's going to be harder to get the students engagement in the class and the participation. And that's a teacher's point of view. But then you get the students and they're admitting to how helpful it's being in their lives.
Well, I think we're both in the mindset that tech just for technology's sake is not what we're promoting. But if you look at something like the SAMR model, if it's just solely substitution levels, then something else needs to change. You need to get to some of the higher levels of that tech and the benefits it can create within the classroom.
I just want to thank you guys so much for being here, taking the time out of your guys' day.
Thank you for everything.
Thanks for having us, guys. We enjoy coming on.
Definitely. Yeah,
thank you.
What made you guys want to jump into podcasting?
What?
Besides somebody bugging you and saying, hey, come over here and podcast.
3 years that I've been in high school, I was always in a gen tech, and there was no real like communications or podcasting. Okay, so we got Ryan, Joey, and Daisy. And I always looked up to them because what they were doing was pretty cool. And I would always feel really special when they engaged me in their podcasting and interviewed me. And I knew that immediately. I was like, I want to be doing this. I want to be interviewing little freshmen too.
Nice.
As for me, podcasting has always fascinated me. I actually listened to Tosa's Talking Tech.
Oh, wow. Honored.
I always liked the idea how people are speaking to a mic and just gives me a relaxed vibe. Everything is so conversational, and I think that's really cool. Last year was actually my first year in Gen Tech. When Platt offered to host for the podcast, I was super excited because that was something that I do want to experience. And this is my last year in high school, and this will be one of the greatest memories I've had.
Oh. So what's been the most rewarding aspect so far this year with the podcast?
I think for me, getting to know this dude right here.
I love being able to get to meet new people, like definitely my co-host Kayla, and the people we're going to be interviewing, learn more about them, their ideas, and their thoughts on technology.
Nice. How about the most challenging?
I got to say that definitely time management is going to be a struggle, but it's definitely possible. Like, I'm here today, no problems, but, you know, things got to be pushed aside for schedule. You know, I am in Drumline and a lot of other extracurricular activities. So some days I might need to be in Drumline during lunch, and just band in general. Being able to balance all my classes and all my grades, I just want to maintain those, you know, those high A's like everyone else. I'm sure Kayla does too. And then we got podcasting, and I'm not going to say that it's a challenge, because it's obviously a challenge, but it's not a problem really.
Mm-hmm.
It's something that could easily be done if you give it the right work, if you put in enough time. You can do it.
Sounds like a good challenge.
Yes, a good challenge.
How about you, Kayla?
Oh, same thing here with time management. Like I've mentioned before, it's my last year in high school, and so I have a lot of deadlines with colleges, but I would definitely manage my time to record this podcast with Gabe, as well as I'm part of SWIM.
Nice.
Once that comes closer, I will also try to manage my schedule to fit the podcast.
Full schedule, sounds like.
Yep.
Any goals for the end of the year for the podcast?
I just want something that people can listen to, relate
with their ideas.
And Kayla, how about you?
I would also like this podcast to be noticed for the school. I know last year, I believe, was the first year for this podcast. So I definitely love for the entire school to listen in and able to relate to what we say and also gain some type of knowledge.
Great. Well, thank you guys for letting us ask you questions.
Awesome, guys. Good luck with the podcast this year. We'll want to check in at the end of the year to see where you guys are at again.
Yeah, for sure.
More than happy to have you guys.
All right, thanks, guys.
So today we also have another special guest with us. We have Mr. Stratton, principal of Covina High School. How are you doing?
I'm great. Thank you so much for having me today.
We'll be asking a couple questions regarding our podcast, but let's start with this question concerning your job. How has technology played a key role in your job or in life in general?
As we all know, technology has completely taken over everything that we do, really all the time. I think back to my life even 5, 6, 7 years ago and what was the norm at that point is so not the norm today. I remember my very first year that I became a high school administrator as an assistant principal, the number of text messages I received that year as compared to when I was a teacher and a coach, like it literally just went through the roof. I think about a lot how much actually Covina High School has changed my life professionally from a technology standpoint. And to be totally real, like Mr. Platt was a huge part of that. Like I came here to our school 4 years ago thinking that I was like technologically sound, like I could do things, but at the same time I didn't have those levels of expertise and comfort that I would say I do now. So Mr. Platt's one of our mentors, tech mentors on campus, and certainly has been instrumental in my growth in terms of infusing technology into my professional life.
Okay, well that was a really great answer. So that's more on the present, but how was it for you during, like, how was technology? I know for a fact that you guys didn't have the iPhone XS Max. We don't even have that yet. But
are you saying I'm old?
I am not.
Are you assuming that like when I was in high school, like it was the dark ages?
This is 2018, okay? I can't assume anything without offending people. It was very minimal.
So I graduated from Savannah High School in Anaheim in 1999. So okay. I was in high school from 1995 to 1999. And yeah, like pre-cell phone, of course, you know, pre-laptop, like there was no like one-to-one devices. I remember my freshman year, we took a typing class and all of the things we saved on a like a floppy disk, right? But that was really just from like a keyboarding standpoint and learning how to type and navigate. And honestly, I mostly use technology just from like a word processing point, right? So we're gonna type an essay or, you know, complete an assignment. None of the communication tools and like access to info that we do now.
But did you ever expect it to be as full, how aidful it is today?
At that time, no, never, right? I think we've reached the point technologically in our society, even in our schools, where I'm not surprised anymore because I've been surprised so often that you just kind of expect like Apple or the next big tech firm to blow our minds and to change our realities.
Oh, cars
often.
Can fly now? Oh, I don't know.
Exactly, right? And you know, the whole like Tesla movement, this and that. So so things are changing and for the better.
So as far as classroom standards, how do you want to see technology be implemented there?
So I think it's important for us to recognize instructionally that technology doesn't completely take over everything, right? Like discourse, communication, expression, all of those things are still so important. I think technology is a wonderful tool and a wonderful addition to provide more, you know, rich opportunities in structure. We can do things in the classroom in real time now that we just never had the ability to act. But in no ways do we ever want to see our students just travel from class to class and just be completely plugged into their computers and never interact with others. I love the reality that virtually every kid on our campus probably has access to like 5, 6, even 7 Google Classrooms for all of their classrooms. I love that our students are so familiar with the Google suite of education. It's so neat to film a podcast with two of our finest students at Covina High School.
Thank you.
You know what I mean? But even like watching the robotic stuff, watching our theater program, really watching us go to the next level, do things that we didn't think was possible because of the technology that we're putting in our hands and our teachers' hands.
Okay, that's cool. And
may I ask, how would you personally define if technology really problem or the solution?
I was going to ask that, and you just stole it from me.
I want to get your perspective.
Is technology a problem?
Or a solution?
Or a solution. Well, it's both. With every solution, usually we're creating a new problem, right? So it's a constant cycle, a constant go. Just like, I mean, think about cars. Cars were amazing, mm-hmm. right? They completely transformed life as we know it. The combustible engine, right? That whole movement, early 1900s. But with that has come a lot of problems, right? A lot of environmental problems.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we sit in traffic and we go crazy. Mm-hmm. You see what I'm saying? So it's like there's real problems, there's psychological, emotional problems, but we're using technology today to solve those issues and meet those gaps.
Yeah. But then solving those issues creates more.
It does.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Hence the reason I come back to the whole idea of communication, critical thinking, expression. Those are the things that we need to focus on. It's because that creative thought process is coming up with those solutions. And that's what we want to see in our classrooms to mimic, obviously, what our society
needs. You ever think there's going to be like a point where these problems stop?
No, absolutely not. Right?
It's really going to be.
Yeah.
No, I honestly think that too. Problems will always come if you constantly create new technology, try to solve those previous problems. You know, there's, you know, like you mentioned, it's an endless cycle to what we discover. We're constantly going to discover new things, and that comes with new issues.
I couldn't agree more.
I didn't want to like, take anything else.
Okay, it's fine. And then our last question is, what do you expect from us as the host?
That's a great question. I would expect you guys to just take complete ownership of this, right? Of this table, of this equipment, of what's possible. I'd expect you to dream big. Dream big in terms of who you're talking to, who you're inviting on, who your audience is. Think big about publicity and marketing. And how do we make this something bigger than just this classroom and 10, 100, 1,000? How do we get to more people? To hear what you guys have to say, right? Because I think you offer such an incredibly unique perspective of talking about technology and how it's addressing adolescence in real time. Shoot for the stars, dream big, keep going. And if there's anything that we can do to support you guys in terms of those things, just let us know because you're doing really, really special work.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
This is Mr. Stratton, principal of Covina High School and supporter of Tech Tips with Tech Squad. Thank you for listening. Our new episode will be coming out soon. Please follow Covina High School on Twitter at Covina Colts. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you for listening to our first ever episode, season 2. If you would like to hear more, subscribe to us on iTunes or follow us on Podomatic.
You can also follow our Twitter at Covina H Tech. That's capital C O V I N A, capital H, capital T E C H, capital T I P S. To be informed on updates and new episodes. The music is Rask from Philip Gross from Free Music Archive.
This was Gabe.
This was Kayla.
Tech Tips with Tech Squad.
See you the next time.